Welcome to the Kindling's Muse podcast.
Hi, this is Dick Staub with another in our Journeys series, conversations with thoughtful creatives and cultural influencers on their life, work, and personal journey. Today, a conversation with Ravi Zacharias. Well, our next guest has been described by Chuck Colson as the great apologist of our time. He has, in fact, defended the faith in strategic settings, including Harvard, Princeton, and Cambridge. He's written best-selling books, including Jesus Among Other Gods. His radio show, Let My People Think, is a refreshing and thoughtful oasis for people who desire to love the Lord completely, including with their mind. So it is refreshing to me to know that even Ravi Zacharias was hesitant to take on such a grand and central theme as the subject of wonder. And it is to our benefit that he overcame his hesitations, because the result is a wonderful book titled Recapture the Wonder, published by Integrity. Ravi, thanks for joining us today.
Dick, always good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
In the introduction of the book, you talk about three men who introduced you to Christ, and I don't know that I have ever asked you how that happened.
Well, actually, you're talking to me from very close to one of them, geographically at least, and I came to know the Lord when I was a teenager, Dick, living in India. I was only 17 years old at that time. And India, you live with a lot of pressure from the strain of academics just to make a go of it. It's not good enough to pass. You've got to come in the top three or four because of the competitive nature of the culture. And I really wasn't doing that well. I had no interest in studies, and one thing led to another, and I ended up on a bed of suicide when I was 17 years old.
Oh, man.
And in that suicide attempt, as I lay on my bed, somebody brought me a New Testament and the Gospel of John, specifically John chapter 14. But it was really through the blending of three lives, Dick. It was Sam Wolgamuth who first preached the message that I heard. Sam, of course, hailed from Illinois, was Youth for Christ mm-hmm. International president. Then John Tabe, who was a missionary from Canada, living now in Calgary. And Fred David, an Indian Youth for Christ worker. Between the three of them, one link put into another, and it was on that bed of suicide I made my commitment to
wow.
Jesus Christ.
Wow, what a wonderful testimony to God's presence and active love on our behalf. What was your hesitancy in taking on the subject of wonder?
Well, as you well said in your introduction there, the challenge was, it's one of those better felt than telt issues, and the last thing you want to do is get into some kind of a fluffy feel in the midst of it all and lose your way trying to deal with something that's real. But at the same time, as I've said many times in interview now, that it'll be so self-defeating to write a boring book
yeah.
on the theme of wonder. You know, great minds have dealt with this in different ways, incidental, I think, rather than explicitly. So people like C.S. Lewis and G.K. Chesterton, G.K. Chesterton probably more explicitly than anyone else. So dabbling with this in our time, where this culture is so visually driven
yeah.
and technologically sophisticated, how do you put into words that which stretches the imagination yet stays within the boundaries of truth? I think that's what the challenge was all about.
Now, your very first chapter, We Miss It, But What Is It, kind of gets at that issue. You say, deep within every human heart throbs the undying hope that somebody or something will bring a way to retain the wonder, and we have this kind of this sense that there's a universal longing for wonder. I mean, how have you seen that universal longing in your travels and in your speaking?
Well, I've first of all, one senses it individually. Every one of us does. I think this is one thing that links us from one culture to another. I was raised in India, in Asia, raised in an Indian home as an Indian youngster, and yet I went to Canada when I was 20, moved with my family. The questions didn't change. The hungers didn't change.
Yeah.
Now living in the United States, and I've covered nearly 60 countries in my lifetime of travels. What I've sensed is that no matter what direction we go to, Dick, to try to bring this fulfillment, it always falls short, no matter how good it is. And, of course, you can hark back all the way to our Lord himself talking to the woman at the well about the fact that he would give her a drink of water so that she would never thirst again. This longing that we have, we understand. what it is that fulfills that longing and keeps legitimate hunger still in place.
Yeah.
I think that's the tension we need to really find.
When you start talking about the definition of wonder, you say it's important for us to understand what it isn't and then to try to get a handle on what it is. How do you define wonder?
Well, this is probably the most difficult aspect, and so I put it in one paragraph, and if I may just read it, and then I'll summarize it in one statement. I put it at the end of that first chapter. I say this: wonder is that possession of the mind that enchants the emotions while never surrendering reason. It is a grasp on reality that does not need constant high points in order to be maintained, nor is it made vulnerable by the low points of life's struggle. It sees in the ordinary the extraordinary and finds in the extraordinary the reaffirmations for what it already knows. Wonder clasps the soul, that is the spiritual, and is felt in the body, the material. Wonder interprets life through the eyes of eternity while enjoying the moment, but never lets the momentary vision exhaust the eternal. Wonder makes life's enchantment real and knows when and where enchantment must lie. Wonder knows how to read the shadows because it knows the nature of light. Wonder knows that while you cannot look at the light, you cannot look at anything else without it.
Mm-hmm.
It is not exhausted by childhood, but finds its key there. It is a journey like a walk through the woods over the usual obstacles and around the common distractions, while the voice of direction leads, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it.
Mm.
And I think the best way that I summarize it in my own mind, Dick, is to say that it is the balancing of enchantment with reality without violating either.
Mm, that's wonderfully put. It's interesting that you make reference to childhood. It's not exhausted by childhood, but finds its key there. And this chapter has as its preface this phrase, the tragedy with growing up is not that we lose childishness in its simplicity, but that we lose childlikeness in its sublimity. Why is it that we associate wonder with childhood?
For two reasons, I think. The first one is we've experienced it and can remember it.
Yeah. So when we're talking about wonder, we're talking about something that we feel like we once had and we've
right.
lost.
You know, just this last Sunday, I was speaking in Pennsylvania, and this is exactly what I saw my friend and I, who has brought me into church, and a young woman was holding a little girl's hand walking into the church. And that child was skipping and hopping and just giggling and chuckling, and everybody was noticing it, and there was not a single person who but that smiled and realized how wonderful it was to see a little one so enthralled just walking into church. Yes, everything is new. Whether it's the teaspoon of an ice cream in the mouth, or whether it's a toy you're playing with, or whether it's a friend, or whether it's a beautiful boat ride or whatever,
yeah.
there's a newness to life, and that novelty, I think, thrills the young heart. For the want of a better word, the software is pristine, as it were, and we are putting it with new, wonderful pieces of information.
Yeah, so in a sense, when we talk about salvation, we understand that we are lost, but also that we've lost something.
Yes, exactly. And it is that sense of what is missing that drives most of us in the first place to know that only God is big enough to fill this heart. But at the same time, when you know that you're dwarfed because of your own lostness, how wonderful it is to be picked up and placed on a lofty pedestal and bring the balance again between spiritual poverty and enrichment that's given to you as a gift of God.
Join us next time for more conversation with Ravi Zacharias. Thank you for listening to Journeys on the Kindling's Muse.